All right. So there's actually way too much stuff this week. Achrayimot and Kedoshim, both jam-packed parshiot. So I'm going to try to give some highlights, maybe not read so much inside, but also we'll probably have to skip around from the stuff that I've prepared. So the Kli Yakar, at the beginning of Achrayimot, we have what's essentially Avodah of Yom Kippur. There's a large discussion about whether it actually is, at least in the beginning, Yom Kippur. So whatever, I'm not going to get into it, but there's a whole Torah of the Gra. But one thing that you have in the Torah, it says, Aaron HaKohen is told not to come at all times into the Kodesh, because then he'll die. So what does this mean, B'chol Eit? So the Kli Yakar says, Remez al davar ha-satan oleh 364 v'yimot ha-chama b'mispar 365. He points out that if you take the word ha-satan, so it comes out to 364, whereas there are 365 days in the solar calendar. Says that's called eight, 364 days of the year. That's the time of the year. But there's one day out of the year which is separated out. It's not like all the other days. That's Yom Kippur. It's not considered an eight. It's not considered a time. And that's why the Kohen Gadol is allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim into the Kodesh, on Yom Kippur, but not on other days. So it's a remez to that. Vayavo b'chol eit, don't ever come in except on the day which is not controlled by the Satan, which is Yom Kippur, and on that day you're allowed to come in.
Why are they counting the days according to the solar calendar?
It's a good question. I think there are answers to it, but not for now. The Chatam Sofer makes an interesting point also. He says, at the beginning of the parasha is called Acharimot. Acharimot Shnei Bnei Aaron, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. So he says, nearly the Bnei Aaron, Merov Otzem Chashkam Lehitkarev. Why did they die? They died because they wanted to get close to Hashem, essentially. They went too far. They died in the Kodesh because they wanted to come close to the Kodesh. But if so, maybe Aaron will also want to go close and want to go into the Kodesh when it's not supposed to, and he might suffer the same fate. And so that's why he has to be told, Ali Avobu Cholei Tel HaKodesh. He has to be told because after what happened to his sons, he shouldn't suffer the same fate. Like I said, we have the Avodah of Yom Kippurim, which is a lot of taking on and putting on of the big day Zahav, big day Lavan, going into the mikvah, a lot of that back and forth. So the Chatam Sofer asked a very, very basic question. I don't understand. The Tfilah mikdusha chamura l'kedusha kala. Doesn't make any sense. He's going from the Kodesh into the Azara. I understand when he goes from the Azara into the Kodesh, he has to go to the mikvah. But when he comes for out of the Kodesh into the Azara, why does he have to go to the mikveh again? Hello, mi big day Lavan, the big day Zav, who can be Chomer, lakami menu. Doesn't make any sense. Why is he going to the mikveh when he comes out of the Kodesh place? Yeshlomer de la achashit Kadesh, Adam Kedusha Yitera, Az, Acharka, Haidim Mitzvot Tav Torah To, Afil Mitzvot Apshutim Italim Mikdashim, Beyeter Seit. He says, no, you're missing the point. The point is to take the Kedusha of the Kodesh out into the regular world and to elevate your avodah in the regular world. Says after he leaves the Kodesh, he goes out and he operates on an even higher level outside than he did in the Kodesh. Amazing idea. Rav Hirsch has a similar idea. Here is a comment by the Ktav Kabbalah about the Seir. We have the Seir that we throw from the cliff of Azazel. And he has a whole discussion also about why it's called Azazel. We're not getting into that right now. But one of the things that we do is you put your hands on the Seir. And he says, what is that? What are we doing? Put the Seir, hands on our Seir. So the simple reading of the Torah is, V'natana otam arosha Seir, V'nasa ha-Seir alav et kol avonotam. It sounds like you're putting the sins on the Seir, and the Seir is carrying the sins. Right? That's what it sounds like. So he says, no, that's not what's going on. She's not here. She went outside. But right now I'm doing something. He says, no. Misunderstood. You're not putting the sins on the seer. That's not what's happening. What's happening is that you're putting them down while your hands are on the Rosh Seir. You're not putting the sins onto the Rosh Seir, onto the Seir like he's going to carry them. You're just putting them down. Natan simply means to put down. You're putting them down while your hands are on the Seir. So his point over here is just to say this is an act of getting rid of the sins, but you're not sort of mystically putting them onto the Seir. I found that very interesting.
Why can't we just have a simpler explanation and say it's just like a korban where the kohen puts his hands, the samach al rosh apar, samach yado al rosh apar. Same thing here. You put your hands on the animal.
Right. You definitely can. The problem is that it says afterwards, it sounds like v'natan otam al rosh haseir, v'nasa haseir alav et kol avonotam. It sounds like you're putting the avonot on there and then it's carrying the avonot. So it sounds different. The Kli Yakar on the words ish ish al kol shar b'sharo lo tekirvu, which is the mitzvah of not engaging in intimate relations with relatives that you're not supposed to. So he says what's prohibited here is kriva hamavia lide gilui erva. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Where's the thingy? Oh, there it is. Okay. He says, and this includes yichud. This includes seclusion. This causes intimacy.
Who is this you're reading now? I'm sorry.
This is the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar. He says, that's why it says ish ish. It says it twice. Why? Because the rule is that for yichud, as long as you have two men, there's no yichud. So he says, this is a remez to that. It says, also, two women, tikrvu is lashon rabim in the keva. So, two women you can't have. So, two men is already not yichud, but two women is still yichud. Okay, let's keep going. Ah, yes. Okay. So, we have the concept of v'chai behem in Parashat Acharimot. It says, asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai behem, and you should live in them. Now, the Chatam Sofer points out, the Gemara in Yuma learns from this, that with regards to 99% of the mitzvot in the Torah, if you're threatened and told, do this or I'm going to kill you, then you violate the mitzvah. Yavor v'al yareg, except for three. Avodah Zarah, Shfichut Damim, and Gilui Arayot. So we learn that from V'chai Behem, and you should live in them, V'lo Yamut Behem. The problem, what's strange, is the Chatam Sofer notice you find this pasuk of v'chai behem in the context of gilui arayot, which is one of the big three, one of the ones that it's yareg v'al yavor. So it's very, very strange that you should have v'chai behem specifically in that location, because after all, that's one of the mitzvot. That's not v'chai behem; it's sheyamut behem. You actually you have to be killed before you do it. And he leaves it as a question. He says, it would be a mitzvah to solve this problem. It doesn't make any sense. And he leaves it up in the air. Now, there's a few other people that comment on the V'chai Behem. You have the Hamek Dabra, the Netziv, who says, Chai over here does not mean physical life. He says, Chai, pam perusho chai v'lo mit, or pam perusho chai b'shlemut v'lo b'shiflut adat. Sometimes it means to live physically, and sometimes it means to live fully, to be invigorated, to live with zest. And he says, this is the second one. Kaya al-Masa mitzvot, the point over here is to live with the mitzvot and not to do them in a fashion that you're like dead. He's saying here, this is to do them and not kimitzvot anashim lumada, not to do them in a dead fashion, but rather to do them lively, to be osek in them with passion. The Sfat Emet also makes a comment over here. Rashi says, "L'olam haba, ki b'olam hazeh harei umet." Rashi says, "You'll do the mitzvot, and that will get you olam haba." That's what this means. V'chai b'hem. Ramban says, "Kefi ha'maasim zochin l'chayim."
What does it mean, ki b'olam hazeh harei umet?
Yeah, you're not going to survive forever in this world.
Oh,
you're going to die. So what does that mean, v'chai b'hem?
I'm reading it. It sounds like right now. It's not. That's not.
Yeah,
right,
you're not
going
to live forever. So you're saying if you're not going to live forever, then the meaning
you will die. Okay.
To enjoy them in the next life,
you get rewarded.
The Satamat adds on, he says, "Vaday al yedei achet nitzrach hamita, she'eini cholim l'taken hakol b'li hamita." He says, the truth is, because there's sin in the world, death is a good thing. You don't want to live forever. You don't want to live forever because there's sin in this world. But before Adam sinned, then it made sense to live forever because you could live a life without sin. So he says, "Zatz mor tzono yitbarach b'amorat mishpatay ta'asu asher yaseh atam ha'adam v'chay b'hem." Ha'adam is Adam HaRishon. "V'lomar she'tiru lishmor v'lasot ha'tarah mitzvot ad she'yaseh ha'adam otam v'yuchal l'chiyot b'hem gam b'olam hazeh ki ha'kol tali b'avodatenu." He says, the best thing is that if we all do all the mitzvot, then we'll go back to the level of Adam HaRishon, and then we'll be able to live forever in this world. So he says that that's a remez to living forever in this world even, and not worrying about death anymore. Okay. Here's another interesting comment by the Ketav Kabbalah on the word ger. What is the word ger? So we know that in general it means stranger. Sometimes in the Torah it means a non-Jew living in our land. Sometimes it means a convert. So there are lots of explanations of how ger can mean a convert. Does it mean a person who lives amongst us? Does it dafka mean somebody? I mean, it can't mean somebody who's strange because they're not strange anymore. They converted to Judaism. So why do we call a ger? Doesn't make sense. So he argues, he says, I think there's another meaning. He says, kol ha'oved et Hashem hu tamid b'melchama p'nimit. Anybody who serves Hashem is always in some kind of internal struggle between his materialism, his nefesh ha'bahamit, and his yetzer ha'tov. So he says, this will be an even greater struggle for a non-Jew who converts to Judaism because he got to enjoy all these things, cheeseburgers, etc., when he was not Jewish, and now he converts to Judaism, his struggle is going to be even stronger. He's going to have to be an even greater gibor chayo. Kol rega yaguru bo milchamot atavot v'chomriot b'shtokukut lalechet acharei shirut libavo kfi hergelo. His lagur, the ger is milashon yaguru, just a struggle. Yitgar bo milchama shomrei Torah yitgaru bam, to struggle, to fight. U'mizeh ger anochi baritz atastem imenachem mitzotech. So he says, there's another meaning over here. Of ger is to fight and to war against your inner demons. Okay, let's move on to Kedoshim. That was Parshat Acharimot. Okay, the first part of Kedoshim, of course, is the Baruch called up in Israel.
Mom chimed in the word etgar, which is a challenge.
Right, etgar, yeah. The Baruch called up in Israel, and then to say Kedoshim to you. So the Chatam Sofer wonders why specifically here does the Torah tell us that Moshe was ordered to gather all the people. It's only two places. This is one of the two places in the whole Torah where he told Lehi Kahel to gather everybody as a Kahal. And specifically tell them Kedoshim to you and the list of mitzvot that comes after. So we have a bunch of answers to this. The Chatam Sofer says, based on the Chovot HaLevavot, that Prishut and Bedidot to abstain and to go and be by yourself. He says, you know, that's a high level, but ein ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu liot parush. Dahainu she'elech b'makom she'en anashim l'medbariot v'yarim l'bachutz l'haskil. Livchon l'haskil. Hashem does not want us to go off into a desert or into a monastery or to go and be alone and live our lives like that. Ki lo tov v'al ha'shevet yisara. Hashem wants us to settle the land. Hashem wants us to connect to people, to teach and to learn from other people and to other people, to engage with each other. And that way, we bring them closer to Torah and we come closer to Torah. So you shouldn't think that the highest level of Avodat Hashem is to be by yourself, but rather, that's why Moshe is told to gather everybody together.
Can you interpolate from this that Hashem was not in favor of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spending all those years in a cave?
I mean, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did that to protect himself physically. But yes, I mean, obviously Hashem doesn't want people to live in a cave. Absolutely not. Now, here you have something interesting. You have the Malbim makes a comment, and then the Amik Davar says the exact opposite. And I think the Shla also says the exact opposite. The Malbim says... he says, why are they all told to gather for these mitzvot? So we'll jump to the end. He says, generally speaking, when Moshe taught Am Yisrael, how did he do it? He would teach Aaron, then they would bring other people in, and everybody would basically get their own private shiur. That was the idea. Everybody gets their own private shiur. And he says, why is that important? Everybody was taught exactly what they needed to learn on the level that they needed to learn it. Okay?
He's talking to somebody on the side, yeah.
So, everybody got their own private shiur. Everybody was taught on their level. Ulam, he says, Parsha Zu, Sheruba Gufei Torah. This parsha is different because it has all the fundamentals of the Torah. Perush, mitzvot rabot shetzarich ledatam lekayamam kfi haguf apshat kulam b'shaveh. Everybody has to keep them in the same way. He killed kulam b'yachad v'zeh shekadum sherov gufei haTorah tuliyim ba. Says kedoshim is different because it has all these fundamental objective mitzvot that everybody needs to keep in the exact same way. So there's no levels, there's no differences between the people. So that's why Moshe had to gather them all together in this way.
You could say the same thing about Parshat Mishpatim, couldn't you?
You really could. Interestingly, the Netziv says the exact opposite. He says, "Kedoshim to you, Klapi Mas Eretz Mitzrayim, Ba Mitzvah Kol Adat Meisol Yot Gedurim and Atava." Everybody's being told they have to stay away from Taiva. Afilu Mashu Neged Seichelenu Shelivad. Okay, here this part. Hiktim Akatuv Kan El Kol Adat Bnei Yisrael, Ba'asher Ein Prishat Kol Adam Shaveh. Says here we're talking about Kedusha. This is talking about going above and beyond the explicit mitzvot of the Torah and to engage in extra prishut. So he says there, not everybody's the same. Every single person has to figure it out on their own, what it means for them. And that's what it says in another Mefarshim as well. It says that's why over here, Mikom Akom Hakom Muzarim Ish Lefiarko, Masha Ein Ken Kol Mitzvot Hadavar Yadua Shakol Shavim. With regards to all the other mitzvot, everybody's equal. But with regards to Kedoshim Tiyu, every person has their own Madriga. And so Moshe wanted to tell it to everybody, to say to everybody, look, you all have to do this, but each one on their own level. It in fact does not mean the same thing for every single person. That's what he's saying over here. Okay, let's keep going. I'm going to have to pick and choose over here. Ah, interesting. Okay. The Barbanel says about this mitzvah that midot ha'enoshiyut kibud aveim. It is moral and regular that people should engage and should be concerned with kibud aveim. Sorry, 1 second. Extra note. So it's according to Midot Anishiyot that people should worry about Kibud Aveim. Vayitei Yoter Mefursemet Midot Anishiyot V'Kol Adam Yachzik Ba Miyalduto. And everybody learns this when they're young. And he says also, Shmirat Shabbat is also very normal. People should take off one day during the week. It's very nice. And everybody wants to do that. So he says, no. These have to be kept. These mitzvot have to be kept. Ki Ani Hashem. That's what it says. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Even these mitzvot that are moral and the mitzvot that are noach for us, the ones that we would want to keep anyways, even those mitzvot, we have to keep Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem because they are divine. Hi, Baruch, welcome. So that's with regards to Yishimov Aviv Tirao. Okay, now we get up to the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah. So the Chatam Sofer comments. He says, Rabbi Akiva says that Yeshiva Rabbi Akiva the Tamei the Darash Reish Perak Ezur Neshach V'Chayachich Imach Chayach Hakot V'Chayach Avercha. Says, wait a second, I'm not supposed to put somebody else's life in front of mine. So how can the Torah say V'Avta L'Reacha Kamocha that I have to love everybody just like I love myself? That's not right. Kevin Chayach Hakot Min Echav Shalakayim V'Avta L'Reacha Kamocha. I'm supposed to put my life in front of everybody else's life. So he says, no. Ad Chayach Hakot Min Haynu Binyanei Olam Azeh. This is incredible. The Chatam Sofer says Yes, with regards to physical life, you have to put yourself first. But with regards to spiritual life, you have to put others first. Meaning that even if it impinges on your learning Torah, even if it means that you're going to have to learn the same Masechta over and over and over and over and over and over and over, day, year in, year out, but that's what you're teaching to, you know, the incoming Shana Aleph, the incoming students, that's what you do. Because and even if it means that you never move on to other masechtot, that's what you have to do. What's fascinating is that, if I remember correctly, in Hakdama to Drashot, one of the sons of the Chatam Sofer says that the Chatam Sofer used to have a daily shiur with the Balabatim, who were not learned. And his son thought it was a waste of his time. What are you doing teaching them? You could be learning on a much higher level. But he said his father was adamant that he did not lose out on anything because of it. Said he reached his level dafka because he spent time with the people that were on a much, much lower level. The Ha'emek Davar points out, he says, again, you can't say that this means kipshuto, that you have to love people more than yourself, because chayecha kodmin, you go first. So he says, really, we need to understand this in context. In what context is the mitzvah of avta l'recha kamocha? It comes right after lo tikom v'lo titor. Not to take revenge and not to hold a grudge. So he says, what's the connection? He says, he quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that lo tikom lo titor, the idea is, if your right hand got a cut, if your right hand accidentally cut your left hand, would you then use your left hand to cut your right hand? Obviously not. So it's like, it's so the same is true with a Jew. If one person does something to you, are you going to hit him back? We're all part of the same body, so we're just hurting ourselves by doing that. And he says it's almost as if Ahavta Rechah Kamocha is a commentary on Lo Tikom Lo Titor. Hanekima b'chaveiro domeh la'adam shemechatech basar v'lo nisara hayad she'ochezet hasakin v'hikah b'sakino l'yad sheni, to cut the other hand. Im taleh al hadat nachzor lakot et hayad achotechet, you're gonna really cut the other hand. It's true, your physical life comes before your friend. However, you're like one being. Isn't telling you go out of your way to be nice to people. It's telling you it doesn't make sense to be mean to people because you're just hurting yourself. Because you're hurting Am Yisrael, and you're part of Am Yisrael.
He's reading the mitzvah in their context, is basically what he's saying.
Exactly. Oh, here. So the truth is, though, that the mitzvah itself shows up with another mitzvah of Hokeach et Amitecha. The full pasuk is V'ahavta l'recha kamocha Hokeach Amitecha. You have to rebuke your friend. So the Mefarshim say, the mochiach, the one giving rebuke, has to consider himself part of the tochacha. What does that mean? Peres leida sheyesh lo chelek b'chet. He has to realize that he is connected to the chet. K'mosh katuv lo tisa alav chet. Because if you don't, then you're going to suffer for it. Perush shelo lashlich kol achet al achoteh. Don't put the whole thing onto the choteh. What should you do? You should find a way to connect yourself to the Aveira that your friend did and to do tshuva on that. And that way you'll inspire him to do tshuva as well. Try to find a way in which you are somehow deficient in the same way that that person is. And then you can fix it along with him. Say, you know, let's go on a 12-step plan together. Your love for your friend is really a part and parcel of your love for Hashem. Why? Because the mitzvah is lahachiv et Hashem lereecha. The point is to make Hashem beloved to your friend. Liot shem shamayim mitayev al yadecha, v'kumot she'adam yageh atzmo lachnis ahavat Hashem b'libo, ken yachnis ahavat Hashem b'lev chaverot. It's very, very hard avodah to make Hashem beloved to others. That's the mitzvah of ahavta lerecha kamocha. Okay, you have something fascinating over here. I don't have time to go through the whole thing, but there's a beautiful Ktav Kabbalah on the mitzvah of Hochiach Tochiach HaTamitecha. He says, we think that it means that a person should just yell at another person, right? That, you know, That's how you rebuke them. You tell them what they did wrong. And the Ketav HaKabbalah says grammatically it doesn't work, because then it would be hocheach tochiach le'amitecha. You do it to the person, right? You give him the tochacha. But it says hocheach tochiach et amitecha, which means that you're causing something, a process to happen to the one who's getting the rebuke. So he says, what does that mean? He says it means that the Torah Kedosha, with all of its wisdom, says the proper way to perform this mitzvah is not to tell the person what they did wrong, but rather to find a way for them to come to the conclusion on their own. How do you do that? So he says, for example, what should you do? It's over here. He says, where is it? Says, Yavoi lav mitoch matun kimesupak badavar. Come to him calmly, as if you're not even sure what happened. Bishaloto tchila im emet shenichnas b'fal ploni. Ask him, is it true that you really did that? Bezulat achlataim upaal maguna lo. Without being clear that he actually did something wrong. And then ask him, eich uma val eza ofen nichnas minan. Ask him questions. How did he do it? Why did he do it? In what way? And then, without editorializing, without blaming him for anything, until he comes to the conclusion himself that what he did was not so good and was not so nice. Your job is to get him to come to the conclusion on his own. And he says grammatically, this comes out of the pasuk.
I've heard this before. I never heard it coming out of the pasuk though. But it's this. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what he says about that. Skip this one.
The Ketav VeKabbalah seems to be very much into grammar and language. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, yes. That's right. Let's find another one to do for tonight. Ah, I like this one. The Netziv points out that at the end of Parshat Kedoshim, you again have the theme, V'it Kadishem, V'item Kedoshim, Ki Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You should sanctify yourself, and then you will be sanctified, because I am Hashem. And the truth is, this is a repetition. We had a very, very similar pasuk at the end of Parashat Shmini. V'it kadishem, v'item kadoshim, ki kadoshani. But the Netziv is very, very careful. He says there's a difference between them. One of them ends with ki kadoshani Hashem, and the other one just says ki ani Hashem Elokeichem. What's going on? So he says, Sham in Shmini, what's Parashat Shmini about? It's about animals, kashrut. It's about eating. Over there, you're talking about kedushat achila. You're talking about becoming holy with regards to your physical carnal desires. So over there, it's going to say, ki kadosh ani. The motivation is you want to be more like Hashem. Aval kan mayri b'kedushat parnasa. She'adam mitkadesh lihod davek b'Hashem lafik raton al yedei korbanot v'tfila. But here we're talking about Kedusha that stems from being holy in financial matters, not having weights and measures that aren't good, not cutting corners, not stealing, things like that. It says there, that's a different kind of Kedusha. And that kind of Kedusha, if you engage in that kind of Kedusha, what's going to happen? Hitem Kedoshim Yisayu Etchem Min HaShamayim. Hashem is going to help you. Tachin Limbam Tachshiv Aznecha. So it says, "Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, ani mashgiach u'menehel etchem al kein ritzoni b'kach shetitpalelu v'tevakshu mimeni." You have to pray for that kind of kedusha. That's why it ends with "Ki ani Hashem Elokechem." So you can examine over there the differences between those two places. But yes. I think we'll end there. We'll end there. And I'm going to wish everybody a good night and a Shabbat Shalom.
Good night. See you. Shabbat Shalom. Shkoyach.
Bye bye.